This is Fresh Air Weekend. I'm Dave Davies, sitting in for Terry Gross. Let's get back to Terry's interview with Stephen Colbert. His satirical political show, The Colbert Report, is on Monday through Thursday night after The Daily Show on Comedy Central. His new book is called America Again, Rebecoming the Greatness We Never Weren't.
So we've been talking about religion and politics. Continuing with the theme of politics, you really entered the fray with your super PAC. So you actually got a super PAC. You actually raised money. You actually bought TV ads. What else have you done with the money?
The money right now is just sitting in the bank and paying fees.
Like lawyer's fees and stuff?
Lawyer's fees and handling fees. You know, one of the things I found out about running a super PAC, and the only reason I really started a super PAC was to see what would happen if you had a super PAC. I didn't have any plan. And I've tried to say this repeatedly, like in every interview. I have no plans for what to do with this from the very beginning. I just wanted to see what would happen because the whole thing came about by accident. We were just trying to do a parody ad of a Tim Pawlenty ad, and I couldn't figure out how to end it. And then I said, well, how's his ad end? And his ad ended just with like a single card on screen that said libertypack.com, whatever his political action committee was. And I said, okay, just put up ColbertPack.com at the end. And one person on the staff said, do you want me to buy that URL? And I said, yeah, we might want to use that later. And then the network called and said, are you really going to get a pack? And I said, why do you ask? And they said, because if you actually get a political action committee, that could be trouble. And I said, well, then I'm definitely going to do it. Because I like the idea of like, why is it trouble? Everybody can do it. Why can't I do it? And then we got into then we'd already reported on, we'd done jokes about Citizens United for about a year. And then I realized, oh, this is what the whole year is about. It's really about this whole new flush of cash into our political system that is in large part untraceable or traceable only after the fact, you know, when it's too late, after the primaries or after the election is over. And I said, okay, let's just try to do it. And we kept on running into supposed barriers in federal election law. But I have a lovely lawyer, Trevor Potter, who used to be head of the FEC and used to be John McCain's lawyer. And Trevor would say, well, actually, we could get around that merely by doing X, Y, or Z. And then we would do that thing, you know, all the way down to going down to the FEC and being granted the ability to have a super PAC and raise money. But every stage of it, I didn't know what was going to happen next. It was just an act of discovery. It was purely improvisational. And, you know, people would say, what is your plan? My plan is to see what I can and cannot do with it. And so, you know, we did it up through the primaries. We really played the game hard up through the South Carolina primary when John Stewart took over my super PAC because I announced my plans to form an exploratory committee about whether I should run for president. And then to illustrate how easy it is to just give the money to somebody else and really have control over what happens. But ostensibly, it's no longer in your control, but you've given it to your best friend who actually, you know, rides to work with you in the morning and you share a building. But it's all on the up and up. And after
even though
that,
you're not supposed to coordinate with the candidate if you have
well,
a super
exactly.
PAC.
That's the rule of the super PAC. I left that out. Super PACs cannot coordinate with campaigns. That's what Justice Kennedy said in his ruling of Citizens United. Is that unlimited money is going to be fine, but there won't be any coordination. There won't be any corruption or even the appearance of corruptions. We find it, you know. And so we just wanted to illustrate how that was complete bull. And after we played that game, it was really the apotheosis of the Super PAC game. And since that moment, you know, I've my producers who did and my writers who did an amazing job keeping us educated on what the super PACs could do and all the different games we could play. You know, some of them have said, like, boy, I feel like we're falling behind on the super PAC story. And I've said, well, no, we're not. We could be on time in 24 hours. We just do a show on it and we'd be right up to date. I said, but you miss being ahead of the story because we were injecting ourselves into the news and illustrating what was ridiculous rather than talking about what's ridiculous. And at our show's best, that's what we do. And I cannot get a passion up for talking about super PACs right now. Not in 5 months, because I feel like, you know, someone who was saying for a year, hey, people get ready, there's a train a-coming. But now the train's here. There's nothing, I don't have a new joke to say because everything that's happening with super PACs, the unlimited money, the hidden money, the bleed from campaign into Super PAC and back again. The fact that they're sharing facilities, they're sharing equipment. Sometimes they're even sharing accounts at a bank. Those are all just jokes we made a year ago. And so as much as there's more news about it, there's no new news about it. And so I can't embody it in a new way. So I really don't know what to do next with the Super PAC. But then again, I never knew what to do.
Right.
So we're just going to be ready and see if there's something else to talk about, you know, in the next few months.
Well, I love it when you take your character into the world, out of the studio and into the world. And you did that with the Super PAC, like right at the beginning, when you got your paper signed at the Federal Election Committee and you officially had control of a Super PAC. Mm-hmm. You held almost like a little press conference outside of, was it the FEC where you were?
Yes, I did it twice, actually. I did it once when I filed. And then I did it again when I was granted my right to have a Super PAC.
Okay, so this is when you were granted your right to have the Super PAC. And I thought we could listen to that moment when you stepped outside and met the press and your fans.
I am here to represent your voice. So please quiet down so we can all hear what you have to say with my mouth. Fellow Americans, ladies and gentlemen, supporters, friends, and federal employees with extremely generous lunch break policies. 60 days ago today, on this very spot, a young man petitioned the FEC for permission to form a super PAC to raise unlimited monies and use them monies to determine the winners of the 2012 elections. Can anyone tell me who that young man was? It was me. Now, some people have cynically asked, is this some kind of joke? Well, I, for one, don't think that participating in democracy is a joke. I don't think that wanting to know what the rules are is a joke. But I do have one federal election law joke, if you'd like to hear it. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Unlimited union and corporate campaign contributions. That's the thing I don't think I should have to tell you. Of course, there will be others who say, Stephen Colbert, what will you do with that unrestricted Super PAC money? To which I say, I don't know. Give it to me and let's find out. Because I don't know about you, but I do not accept limits on my free speech. I don't know about you, but I do not accept the status quo. But I do accept Visa, MasterCard, and American Express. Thank you. God bless America. And for any atheists out there, Gesundheit, the United States of America. We did it!
And that's Stephen Colbert after signing the papers at the Federal Election Committee, giving him control of a super PAC. How do you prepare for something like that when you're bringing your character in the world after doing something real like getting papers for a super PAC?
I have a very good advance team that makes sure my mic is on. They have a milk crate for me to stand on.
A bodyguard too?
Yes, I do. I do have very capable bodyguards. And we tweet to, you know, we have about 4 million people on our Twitter feed, and we just tweeted and said, hey, I'm going to be outside the FEC tomorrow if anybody wants to stop by. And, you know, we got a crowd both times that we went. And we write a speech on the train ride down and think, well, what would I want to say? And the nice thing about that speech is that I meant every word of it. I had no idea what we were going to do.
Right.
But give me your money and let's find out.
Yeah.
Turns out I was going to run for president and give all the money to Jon Stewart, who was going to blow tons of it on ads. So...
Well,
you know,
you tried to run for president. You tried to get on the primary ballot in South Carolina, but it was too late. You couldn't get on it. So you used Herman Cain, who was still on it.
I couldn't have been happier,
candidate,
by the way, to not get on the ballot. I could not have been happier to not actually be able to get on the ballot, because I actually tried 4 years ago in 2008, and I told myself I wouldn't do that again because I had already picked that chicken. But then we were figuring out what to do with the money. Trying to figure out what to do with the money, and suddenly a poll came, and public policy polling did a poll that In one poll, I think I was polling because it was like Obama, Romney, and me, and I pulled 13% nationally. And then another poll came, and I was beating John Huntsman and a couple other people. and I thought, well, I was in South Carolina. I said, well, I have to do it now. And so we immediately knew what to do with the money. But then I was thrilled to not actually get on the ballot. So the game would be a little bit different, and I wouldn't actually be asking people to vote for me. And the nice thing was that Herman Cain was absolutely happy to play along. You know, when I told him, I called him and I said, this is what I want to do. And he goes, that sounds fantastic. Let's do it.
Well, I think he loves the spotlight.
We had our little rally in we had a rally in South Carolina. And after it was over, and I said, let me guess, you had a good time. And he said, I had a fantastic time, Stephen.
So I always have to ask myself when you do that, when you're either on the ballot or have a surrogate on the ballot, like, is that going too far? Is that actually injecting it into the voting booth in a way that might actually change the results of an election?
I mean, if I actually thought I would change the results of an election, I think I would think I was going too far. But I never for a moment thought I would change the results of an election, and I think I was right.
Because you wouldn't get enough votes to make a difference?
No, I would never get enough votes.
With elections being so close in some places.
Not in South Carolina.
Not South Carolina.
Just the Republicans. I don't know what to say.
You
know,
right.
You know, even 4 years ago when I was running in 2008 in South Carolina and really sincerely like tried to get on the ballot, if I was doing well, I had a plan of how to drop out, which is that I was going to have a scandal. I was going to like...
Oh, I'm sorry you didn't get a chance.
I know. Wasn't that exciting? Oh. I would have been wonderful. I wanted to like actually go down to South Carolina and like stumble around Columbia, the capital, like pantsless with a bottle of Jack Daniels and try to get arrested, which I got to say my wife was not thrilled about this plan, but she actually was thrilled that I had a ripcord to get out of the election. I said, it'll be great. You can stand beside me and like I'll be tearful. And she's like, wonderful.
Oh,
fantastic.
That would have been so
great. But, you know, I also don't think that when you're talking about the corrupting influence of money and the degradation of our trust in our political process with unlimited and untraceable cash, I think the idea of me encouraging people to vote for Herman Cain to make a joke about how dangerous this new style of funding is, I think that's a tiny little prick to be putting in this balloon of corruption. You know, I don't think that me encouraging people to vote for Herman Cain is anything compared to the thing I'm talking about.
Well, Stephen Colbert, thank you for coming back to Fresh Air. It was just such a treat. Thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks, Terry.
Stephen Colbert speaking with Terry Gross last Wednesday. Colbert's new book is called America Again, Rebecoming the Greatness We Never Weren't. You can read an excerpt on our website, freshair.npr.org.